Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Food Integrity Now with Carol Gravé, Susan Wright, and Matt Spaeth, revealing the truth about the food we eat.
Welcome to Food Integrity Now, revealing the truth about the food we eat. I'm Susan Wright, and I'm one of the hosts of the show, and I'm here with Joni Foule, who is a nutritional health coach, and she's been a coach for about 5 years, and we're going to be discussing one of the basics of nutrition today and dispelling some misinformation about fats, especially, and about what makes us fat. So, Joni, does eating fat make us fat?
Actually, it does not. If you're eating healthy fat, which includes saturated fat, that slows down the rate of absorption of carbohydrates into your bloodstream. So, eating healthy fat, such as saturated fat, actually has a lot of benefits to it. Saturated fats are very important because they are the preferred fuel for the heart. Saturated fats are also used as antiviral agents, and they're very effective at anti-caries, anti-plaque, and antifungal agents. Saturated fat actually is useful to help lower our cholesterol. That's because of the palmitic and hysteric acids that are in saturated fat. Saturated fat modulates our genetic regulation and is cancer preventive because of the butyrate that is saturated fat.
So how come it's gotten such a bad rap? Because I've read a lot of information saying that saturated fat does the opposite of that. Why do you think that's so prevalent?
I guess it's been pointed to as the villain when in actuality there are other foods that are much more dangerous and harmful to our health, which would be sugars and refined carbohydrates that lead to unstable blood sugar levels and a lot of inflammation in the body. So fat is not the culprit it's made out to be, and especially saturated fat. But sugar and refined carbohydrates are really detrimental to overall well-being and health.
And we're going to talk more about that later, but let's go back to fat and talk about, what are some of the sources of healthy fat? Because there are good fats and bad fats.
Right. So some of the sources of good fats, including the saturated fats, would be grass-fed beef, because the animals are eating their natural diet, the diet that they should be eating, which they can actually digest the grass, whereas when they're fed grains, soybeans and corn, they do not digest the grains well, and it leads to an imbalance in their essential fatty acids in their body, and they contain less omega-3s and more omega-6s, which leads to inflammation. So grass-fed beef and ghee coming from pastured cows, so it's butter that's had the milk solids removed. Ghee is a good fat to use in cooking because it doesn't burn as readily as butter. So that's another healthy fat. Butter would be another example. Along with some of the palm oil and coconut oil, those are saturated fats as well. that they're on the healthy spectrum in, with extra virgin olive oil, cacao butter, avocado oil, and then unheated nut oils such as like almond, hazelnut, and walnut.
Looks like we have a caller on the line. Hello? Maybe not.
Are you there?
Okay. So what about the unhealthy fats?
Okay, so unhealthy fats would be the polyunsaturated fats when we're getting them in too large of ratios. So, and it's very easy to do because polyunsaturated fats are found in processed foods. And so anything boxed, bagged, and canned generally contains polyunsaturated fats such as sunflower oil, safflower oil, corn oil, canola oil. And so you can see how it would be very easy to get too much of this polyunsaturated fat in the diet. Other unhealthy fats would be trans fats. So trans fats, again, are in the packaged processed foods and margarine. So trans fats are really hard on the body. They actually become incorporated into our cellular membranes, and they lead to our cells actually becoming trans fat because the body can't rid that. So it's very inflammatory. So we want to stay away from oils that are overheated and they become oxidized. So oxidized fat is very hard on the body, on the heart in particular. So if you're cooking with a healthy fat, such as olive oil, even coconut oil or butter, you want to keep your heat low so that you don't oxidize the fat that you're using in your cooking.
Something that I see a lot in products, potato chips, all kinds of things, is canola oil. What is that like? Is that good or bad? Because it seems like
canola is not the healthy oil that it's made out to be. It's actually in the process of canola oil becomes a trans fat. They have to use a lot of chemicals when they process canola oil because it's not meant for human consumption, and it smells very bad. So it's they use a lot of chemicals in the processing of canola oil, and it is considered an unhealthy fat, not a healthy fat, as far as causing inflammation in the body. Mm-hmm. So we want to try to avoid canola, corn, cottonseed, peanut, soy, and vegetable oils, along with margarine and other artificial fats or trans fats.
Mm-hmm.
Also, oils made from genetically modified grains and commercial lard would want to be avoided.
Okay, yeah. It's just interesting because even a lot of health foods that I see have canola oil, and people then think that it's healthy, and it's one of the worst things that you can eat.
Yes, it's really not a healthy fat.
As well as I think it's one of the most prevalently genetically modified.
Yes, because most corn and soy in this country is genetically modified, so that's a good reason to look for organic if you are buying a processed product. If you can buy organic, then hopefully you won't be getting the genetically modified oils in your foods, which would be incorporated into your cellular structure and promoting inflammation, which we want to avoid.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you mentioned corn oil. That is something else that's seen a lot. And something I'd heard about corn oil is that it actually will increase the xenoestrogens in your body.
Yeah, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. And that's hard to get away from because we get those from plastics, which are abundant.
Right.
Sources.
Like pesticides, I think.
Pesticides, herbicides, cosmetic, conventional cosmetic products.
Right.
Yeah. So easy to get an overabundance of xenoestrogens.
So what if someone were on a fat-free diet? What kind of things can happen to a person from eating a fat-free diet?
Well, generally, when you eat a fat-free diet, you end up eating too much carbohydrate, especially refined carbohydrate, which converts to sugar in the body and, again, leads to inflammation. So fat will help to satiate you and fill you up and keep you from overeating. So it also slows down the rate of absorption of carbohydrates into the bloodstream, another reason for feeling full sooner, and decreasing the amount of calories that you consume.
Mm-hmm.
And so oftentimes eating a little bit of fat, which will fill you up, is a much better option than sitting down to eating, you know, large portions or servings of refined carbohydrates and processed foods.
Okay, we are going to take a short break, and we'll be right back with Joni Sule to talk about the basics of nutrition and good fats and bad fats. We'll be right back.
My name is Jennifer, and I'm a health fanatic. I admit it. I read all the labels, eat organic food, and I'm very aware of what I put into my body. I practice holistic health, use alternative healing products, and never miss my daily dose of Willard water. Willard water is made with fossilized organics and contains nearly 24 trace minerals that are essential to maintaining strong bones, heart health, and good energy. Simply adding a quarter capful of Willard water to my tea makes a tremendous impact on my overall well-being. Willard water is tasteless and odorless. Dr. Willard's patented catalyst helps our bodies better absorb the minerals and nutrients we need to maintain optimal health. If you care about your health, you'll try Willard water today.
To learn more about the benefits of Willard water, call us at 888-379-4552 or visit our website at drwillard.com. That's drwillard.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration, and Willard water is not intended to treat, diagnose, cure, or prevent any diseases.
Have you ever dreamed of swimming with the dolphins in the wild? This is Carol Gravey with Wild Dolphin Swim Adventures, and I just teamed up with Sharon Farrell of RockyMountainSacredJourneys.com. We're here to invite you on an amazing journey of self-discovery, fun, and adventure. Your adventure will include swimming with the wild dolphins, past life regression or Tai energy treatment, gourmet organic meals, and much, much more. To find out about our upcoming trip in October, go to wilddolphinswimadventures.com or call us at 415-302-7100. Again, that's 415-302-7100. Hope you can join us. Mahalo.
Welcome back to Food Integrity Now. I'm Susan Wright, and I'm here with Joni Soule, who is a nutritional health coach. And we're talking about good fats, bad fats, and what actually makes you fat. So let's get into it right now. We did mention, or Joni mentioned earlier, indicated that it has more to do with sugar than fat. So let's talk about what sugar does in the body. Okay. What does it do in the body?
Well, number one, it's empty calories. So sugar is actually known as an anti-nutritive. Not only does it not give you nutrition, but it robs your body of important.
And so if your body's robbed of nutrition, what happens? Why does that contribute to weight gain? Because it seems like, you know, that's what people are trying to do, is starve themselves with calories to lose weight. So.
Right. Well, when you're eating the sugar and the processed foods, the empty calories, you're not getting what you need as far as nutrients go, and you will constantly be hungry. So your body will be asking for more food, more calories, because you're not getting the nutrients that you need.
And so you end up maybe starving and then either binging, or maybe your metabolism might slow down.
Exactly.
That's what I'm thinking.
Exactly. Well, yes, you can eat, and you can eat all day long, but unless you're getting food with high nutritional value, you can actually become malnourished.
Right.
So eating sugar will deplete your body rather than add to the nutritional balance in your body.
Okay.
So for the majority of people that are looking to lose weight, something that is definitely worth checking into and trying would be severely restricting carbohydrates such as sugars, fructose, and grains in our diet. And so refined carbohydrates, especially like breakfast cereals, bagels, waffles, pretzels, and most processed foods will quickly break down into sugar. And the big problem with that is that then your insulin levels are increased. And then when your insulin levels are constantly increased, this can lead to insulin resistance, which is when your cells will no longer be able to take insulin up into them. So your pancreas is still creating insulin, but your cells aren't able to use the insulin, and that's what leads to diabetes, or another term for it is metabolic syndrome or syndrome X. And really, Syndrome X and insulin resistance is the number one underlying factor of nearly every chronic disease known to man, including weight gain.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So that's really where it's at, is people need to learn to stabilize their insulin levels in their body by eating a diet with appropriate amounts of fats, protein, and carbohydrates from fruits and vegetables, and avoiding the processed refined foods that will lead to that surge in their insulin level. So to lose weight, you really cannot lose weight as long as you're constantly feeding your body too many carbohydrates, and especially the refined carbohydrates, because the body will burn glucose. Yeah, so as long as you're burning sugars and glucose, it's going to be difficult to get to your fat stores. So you won't be able to burn fat or lose weight if your blood sugar levels are not balanced.
Okay. I'd heard, too, that anytime you're even thinking of putting it in your mouth, your insulin will start to rise. Is that true?
Yes, that is true. It is. So eating meals regularly, especially breaking your fast. So that's why they call breakfast. It actually means break your fast.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to get up in the morning. And they tell diabetics that they need to eat within a half hour of rising. Because if you think about it, you go to sleep at 9, 10 o'clock at night, and you get up in the morning at 6 or so, and you're going a good 8 to 10 hours, and then if you go a few more hours, you know, after you've gotten up out of bed in the morning, you can end up going a very long period of time with no food. So you want to get up in the morning, and hopefully within that first half hour of rising, break your fast. And when you break your fast, you want to include protein so that you can keep your blood sugar levels more stable. And when you start off with a protein-containing meal in the morning, that is going to help you keep your blood sugar regulated and stable throughout the day. So skipping breakfast or just having some coffee and running out the door or toast and bagels and too much refined carbohydrate on its own will lead to that imbalance in the blood sugar. And your insulin levels will go up, and then what goes up must come down. And so that roller coaster is what you're on throughout the day. And the thing is, it doesn't end when you lay down and go to sleep either. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of people that are having problems sleeping, it can be related to a blood sugar imbalance in the evening. So it's critical to stabilize your blood sugar throughout the day for heart health, weight loss, keeping inflammation down in the body so that you're feeling more steady moods and not getting mood swings or having a lot of fatigue or brain fog. So the key to weight loss and overall health is keeping that blood stable.
That makes sense. What if someone's a vegetarian? How does that work?
Well, it can be a little more difficult for a vegetarian, but it is doable. But they're going to have to really pay attention to what they're doing and try to include protein with each meal from sources like tempeh, which is fermented soy. And, of course, you want to look for organic there so that you're not getting genetically modified soy. But tempeh is a good source of protein. And if they would consider including eggs are a great source of protein. Other dairy products such as cottage cheese, different cheeses can help increase your protein levels along with nuts and seeds. There are protein powders that they could include in their diet. So you have to be careful when you think about including legumes and beans and rice in a vegetarian diet, because beans and legumes really tend to be more carbohydrate than a protein. Mm-hmm. And that, along with the rice, which is in the carbohydrate, can easily lead to an imbalance in blood sugar.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, stabilizing your blood sugar as a vegetarian takes a little more work. But like I said, it can be done. You just really have to pay attention to what you're doing.
That makes sense, because with, you know, meat is such a high-calorie food that mm-hmm. when you're a vegetarian, you do have to pay attention. I mean, where you get your most of your calories is going to be from carbohydrate-containing foods.
Mm-hmm.
So it would be difficult. And I think probably there are some people that maybe process vegetarian forms of protein better than others. Do you think that that's true?
Yeah, possibly. I like to look at the blood type diets. I don't go strictly off of that, but it can give you a good idea of which foods can act like medicine in your body and which foods can really be more toxic or just very difficult for you to process or digest and assimilate. So A, blood types happen to tend to be more of a vegetarian type and can probably do better on a vegetarian type diet, whereas I am an O blood type, and O's really thrive on a high protein diet, and particularly red meat. So O's would do well to eat liver and organ meats and buffalo and grass-fed beef. And I really do find this true when I do my coaching. I can usually point out to people what their blood type is before they tell me, just according to what they really like to eat.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting. I think that when you are a vegetarian, you want to make sure that you do include healthy fats to fill you up and help to keep your blood sugar stable. So anytime you add fat, protein, and fiber to your diet, along with carbohydrates, that's going to slow down the rate of those sugars into your bloodstream. So that's important to remember.
That's interesting. I kind of do the same thing with the blood type, because there are some people that do great on a vegetarian diet, and I can't. I've tried. I just don't thrive on it.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's interesting.
It can be difficult, but that's what finding the diet that's right for the individual is so very important, because we're all unique. And so keeping a food diary can be very helpful. What during day, and then noting, how does that make you feel? You know, really paying attention to, okay, after I ate my lunch, did I have to go lay down and take a nap? Or did I feel like, wow, I really feel good and I have energy and I can make it to dinner, no problem. So pay attention to how you feel after you eat. And it's really not normal. It's not natural to feel gassy or bloated or to have brain fog or fatigue after you eat. We should eat a meal and we should feel good and have sustained energy after we eat. So that can tell you, if you're not feeling good after you eat, then you need to keep working at getting the correct balance of the proteins, fats, and carbohydrates in your diet. And making sure you stay hydrated is very important too, especially here in Colorado where it's so dry. So they say that we should be getting about half of our body weight in ounces per day in water. And a lot of people don't come anywhere near that. So carrying, you know, a water bottle with you throughout the day, and paying attention to how much water you're drinking is super important too. Staying hydrated will just help your body function more optimally.
Yeah, we just had a show on water last week, and one of the things that was brought up is that most people are dehydrated.
Yes, and they don't know.
Water. Yeah.
They don't know it. But, yeah, so drinking fluids throughout the day and trying to avoid caffeine as much as possible.
Right.
Because that can really be a problem, too. And as a matter of fact, that's a problem for blood sugar stabilization, too. So coffee can actually create a rise in your insulin levels. And so
it does that for me, for sure.
Yeah, I think it does for me, too. So when I do my coaching, I like to tell people to, rather than get up in the morning and start off with a coffee on an empty stomach, which will go directly into your bloodstream, try to have your breakfast first, some protein-containing breakfast. And then if you want to have a cup of coffee, go ahead and have your coffee, you know, at the end of your meal. I just think that it makes a big difference when you're putting it into the caffeine on an empty bloodstream and how that will impact your health.
Right. Okay, well, we're going to take another break to listen to our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
Anxiety, anger, depression, or low self-esteem? Do you beat yourself up or sabotage what you truly want to achieve? Hi, this is Jeannie Smith, and at Open Heart Healing, I combine counseling, gestalt therapy, and Tai Chi energy work to assist those who truly desire to bring quality and joy back into their lives. My office is located on South Perry Street here in Castle Rock. Call me for a free consultation at 303-660-6373. Again, that's 303-660-6373, or visit me at openhearthealing.com.
Mm-hmm. Linda Masterson, Soul Purpose Astrologer, works with astrological tools and with guides in the non-physical to assist ones in knowing their soul purpose. Important in this process is identification of significant blockages. In each session, tools are provided for working with self to clear resistance and free talents, skills, and abilities to fuller expression. The goal is to take responsibility for and to accelerate the healing process. Phone sessions are offered by Linda. Please visit Linda at lindamasterson.com or call 808-651-0307. Again, that's 808-651-0307.
Welcome back to Food Integrity Now. I'm here with Joni Soule, and we are talking about good fats, bad fats, what really makes us fat. And it's been enlightening talking about what sugar does in the body and how insulin resistance is what actually causes us to gain weight and hold on to weight. And so we talked a little bit about sleep. When your metabolism is so messed up like that and you're having this blood sugar roller coaster, how does that affect the way you function every day? Like your relationships, your job, your moods, does that have an effect on how you think, on how you react to situations?
Definitely. It definitely does. So it leads, again, to mood swings, brain fog, just run-down feeling. So sleep is critical. That's when we repair and restore, and we do healing in our body. So we don't want to miss out on a good night's sleep every night, if we can help it. So focusing on at least eight hours of sleep each night is critical to overall health.
So it is. It seems like, you know, that when I was younger, I could not sleep and I'd be okay. But for a little while. But now I really notice when I haven't gotten the full 8 hours, it just kind of throws everything off.
I agree. Sleep is really important to repairing and restoring, rebuilding our bodies. So as we age, it's very, very important to get our 8 hours.
So what is a typical balanced day look like as far as eating?
Starting
with breakfast, I guess. And you did talk a little bit about that, but
I think most people, like I said, we all have our own unique bio-individuality, but something like 3 meals a day with 2 healthy snacks is probably a good place to start. And then, of course, the individual can tweak it from there. So starting off with, like I said, that protein-containing breakfast in the morning and shooting for around 20 grams of protein with each meal. So a lot of people are surprised to hear that. They think, oh, 20 grams of protein in a day, I can do that. But no, I'm talking about 20 grams of protein 3 times a day. So that can be a really big change for people. And can take a little bit of getting used to as far as in the morning thinking of what you can prepare for breakfast rather than throwing some bagels in the toaster or some cereal in a bowl with some milk.
Which would destroy me. I would be unable to think for the rest of the day.
Right, yeah. Then they have to think about making some eggs or I'll oftentimes tell people, to cook extra dinner at night when they're making their dinner, to cook a little extra protein, make an extra chicken breast or an extra piece of fish or even a little piece of steak and put it in the refrigerator, and then it's cooked and it's ready to go. You can just heat that up quickly in the morning. And if you had leftover vegetables from dinner, you can do that too. So Americans are the only ones, I think we're the only country that thinks that we need to eat processed grains in the morning for breakfast every day, as far as like cereal and toast and bagels and donuts and pancakes and waffles. And it really is better to avoid those foods or have those on an occasion, but not on a daily basis. So get up in the morning, have your protein-containing breakfast. And if you don't start eating vegetables in the morning, going to be very hard to get your 10 to 12 servings of vegetables a day, which is now what we're recommending in the natural healthcare field that we get in our diet on a daily basis. So 10 to 12 servings of vegetables. I know for myself, if I don't start in the morning, there's no way that I'm going to make my daily quota on my vegetable servings. And you can have fruit is included in there, but you really want to limit the fruits to just a couple a day because, again, of the sugars in the fruit. So if you're sitting and eating fruit all day long or having fruit with every meal and all your snacks, then you could very easily end up consuming too much sugar depending on the fruit that you're eating. So
and it's probably better than most sugars because it has fiber and minerals, but really, sugar is sugar.
Exactly. There is a lot of nutritional value to fruit. That's why we don't exempt the diet completely, but overeating sugar is still a problem, whether it's coming from fruit or it's coming from a candy bar. The body doesn't distinguish the difference between even like a white potato. The starches in that potato convert to sugar in your body just as if you were eating a candy bar.
Yeah.
So sugar is sugar, and a lot of people don't understand that, and they drink fruit juice in the morning, which is basically sugar water.
Mm-hmm.
The same with skim milk, where they removed all the fat from the milk. And actually, the fat in milk, in skim milk, is oxidized because it's so highly processed.
Mm-hmm.
So you're drinking oxidized fat and you're drinking basically lactose, which is the milk sugar. So you're drinking sugar water in skim milk too.
Oh my gosh.
So
yeah.
You can see how it could be so easy to overdo sugars in the morning.
Right.
And to create havoc in the body as far as your insulin levels go if you're eating a lot of sugar or fruit, or you're having a lot of cereal or skim milk and refined processed breakfast foods. So whole food, you want to remember to stick with whole food as much as possible for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and try to challenge yourself. Maybe look and say, did I eat processed food today? And maybe, you know, try to keep track of how many days can you go without eating any processed food at all. And you would probably really be surprised at some of the changes that would start happening in your body, your energy levels and your moods and just your overall well-being.
Right, right. I noticed that when I started eating more protein and really trying to eat a lot of vegetables as well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I get really, really bad insomnia if if I'm not paying attention to what I eat and I eat too much sugar because I'm stressed or I'm busy.
Right.
And then I can't fall asleep at night or I wake up at night and it just is this horrible cycle.
Yeah.
But if I can get my eating under control, like if I'm eating enough protein and my blood sugar stabilizes out, then my sleeping is better and everything is better.
It's true. Yeah, much better. So you're back to what your day would look like. So you'd start off with your healthy breakfast with your protein and hopefully some vegetables. And then a healthy snack between breakfast and lunch, which could be something like half an apple and a handful of nuts.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe some jerky or just roll up some lunch meat over a slice of cheese. We sell some delicious tuna and that's in a glass jar, and I've learned to take a strip of this tuna, it's like a little fillet, and put it down the piece of the celery. It's delicious. It's crunchy and salty, but you get protein and fiber and some enzymes and vitamins and minerals and fiber, and it's satisfying. And so a good healthy snack between your breakfast and lunch. And then for lunch, a good thing to do is a salad with some protein on it, maybe an olive oil type dressing. And that's something else to watch out for. A big culprit as far as bad fats in the diet is salad dressing. Most salad dressings, the commercial salad dressings, are omega-6 fatty acids, so back to the canola, the corn, the sunflower, the safflower oils. And when you take this, you know, beautiful green organic salad and then you pour all of this omega-6 fatty acid salad dressing or trans fat, even worse, salad dressings, because most commercial salad dressings you buy at the conventional grocery stores are full of trans fats, and a lot of them are full of fructose and sugars as well, then you've kind of defeated the purpose of your big, beautiful, organic, healthy salad for lunch. So olive oil is a good way to go for salad dressing. And raw apple cider vinegar is a good choice because that contains a lot of enzymes and just a real healthy salad dressing. So salad with some protein or some soup, vegetable soup with some protein, limiting the breads and grains and processed carbohydrates again. And then another healthy snack between your lunch and dinner. Mm-hmm. And then evening time. And what I generally do pretty much every night is pick out a source of protein that I want for dinner. And then along with that, I will cook a vegetable. And I happen to love green beans. They've been in season lately. So lately it's been a lot of green beans. But cauliflower, broccoli, Brussels sprouts, artichokes, kale, spinach, you can saute up a vegetable. And then I like to do another salad in the evening so I get some raw food with my dinner as well, because when you cook foods, you lose a lot of the enzymes and you lose some of the nutritional value. Although I like cooked foods as well because it also sometimes will help to break down the plant cell wall and make the nutrients more available. So,
yeah, because there are certain plants or certain vegetables that you really can't absorb the nutrients from unless they are cooked, right?
Exactly. Like, tomatoes are better cooked. Okay. You can get to the lycopene in the tomatoes, which is a great antioxidant, and it's real important for cancer fighting and especially for prostate health.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, cooking vegetables is a good thing to do. So I just tell people, eat vegetables. Eat them any way you can. So fresh vegetables, soups, salads, steamed, you know, any way you can get them, raw, is real important. So that's what a day would look like, is breakfast, lunch, and dinner with a couple snacks in between and protein in each of your meals, and you may need that in both of your snacks as well, just to help keep that blood sugar stable. And of course, that would all depend on genetics for one, or how much exercise you're getting in your day. If you're sedentary all day, you're going to probably need less calories than someone that's out there, you know, training for a marathon or something. So really pay attention to how you feel throughout the day. And if you need to add another snack in the evening, then you could do that as well. But protein containing, again, before you go to bed, I know I've had some clients say that just adding a snack at night before they went to bed with some protein in it made all the difference in the world. They were then able to sleep throughout the night when they hadn't been able to sleep throughout the night for quite some time. So just just little changes like that, you can really be amazed at the differences it will make in the body.
And I was going to say too, with eating all that protein, one of the biggest reasons to eat all those vegetables is the fiber.
Right. Yeah, we should be getting at least 30 grams of fiber a day. And some studies say even more than that, up to 40 grams or more. So increasing fiber in your diet is critical to weight loss as well.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, helping you to detoxify the body and stay regular is critically important for overall health, too.
Yeah. Okay. We're going to talk more. I have a couple more questions when we come back from our break.
Okay.
And it's been so interesting. So we'll be right back with Joni Sule.
This is Carol again, and I just wanted to talk to you about one of our new sponsors, Hole in the Wall Herb and Vitamin Shop up in Woodland Park. The owners, Mark and Nancy Duvall, are not only close personal friends, but they're also my nutritional gurus. They are now selling, teaching, and doing Acira bioenergetic testing on their clients. I had this done, and I found out all my food allergies, emotional stressors, environmental sensitivities, hormonal balance, and I received a customized homeopathic remedy. Please call them for more information at 1-800-437-3240.
Have you ever dreamed of swimming with the dolphins in the wild? This is Carol Gravey with Wild Dolphin Swim Adventures. And I just teamed up with Sharon Farrell of RockyMountainSacredJourneys.com. We're here to invite you on an amazing journey of self-discovery, fun, and adventure. Your adventure will include swimming with the wild dolphins, past life regression or Tai Chi energy treatment, gourmet organic meals, and much, much more. To find out about our upcoming trip in October, go to wilddolphinswimadventures.com or call us at 415-302-7100. Again, that's 415-302-7100. Hope you can join us. Mahalo.
Linda Masterson, Soul Purpose Astrologer, works with astrological tools and with guides in the non-physical to assist ones in knowing their soul purpose. Important in this process is identification of significant blockages. In each session, tools are provided for working with self to clear resistance and free talents, skills, and abilities to fuller expression. The goal is to take responsibility for and to accelerate the healing process. Phone sessions are offered by Linda. Please visit Linda at lindamasterson.com or call 808-651-0307. Again, that's 808-651-0307.
Welcome back to Food Integrity Now, and I'm Susan Wright, and I'm here with Joni Sule, a nutritional health coach, and we've been having a fascinating conversation about food and our health and what it takes to lead a balanced life, and it really is important what we eat and how we eat, and we've been talking about protein and how important that is. And you mentioned earlier that some of the good sources of fats are from grass-fed meats.
Mm-hmm.
One, or to just try this new balanced way of eating, just eating regular corn-fed beef, and would that same effect? Maybe it would you know, be better, like a step better. That's the best option.
I think that people have to do, you know, whatever they can do. So definitely getting the protein in, even from conventional meats, is going to be important for stabilizing that blood sugar. Of course, if you can do grass-fed beef, that's going to further help to improve your health. So I would look to working at finding sources for grass-fed beef, buffalo, wild caught salmon, sources of omega-3 fatty acids, which are so very critical because just the standard American diet is really imbalanced in their omega-3 fatty acid profile. So if you can, I search out grass-fed meat when it's on sale and it's frozen, and I will stock up my freezer. And that way I know I've got it when I need it, and I'm getting a better price on it that way. So doing some research and looking into sources for grass-fed meat can really be a great way to help further improve your health and get those antibiotics, hormones, and steroids out of your diet, which can wreak havoc on your body. I think the problem is that our bodies are just very toxic because we are exposed to so many environmental toxins. The water that we drink, the air that we breathe, and the food that we eat is just not as clean as we would like it to be or would hope that it could be. So we have to do the best that we can, and finding ways to detoxify our body. So the more you can eat clean and breathe clean air, the less toxic your body will be. So I think, like I said, we all have to do the best we can. And if you can find the source for grass-fed beef, that would be the thing to do, for sure.
I agree. And like you said, sometimes you know, just making those steps to balance your diet is, I mean, that's the best thing to be on if you can afford or find ways to afford the best types of meats. That's just going to improve your health all that much more.
Right.
Do you have suggestions for reading if someone wanted to find out more about nutrition and balanced eating?
Yes. Gary Taubes wrote a book called Good Calories, Bad Calories. And Gary is one of the leading science journalists, and he devoured literature on this topic of saturated fats and does fat make you fat. And he reviewed all the studies, and he expertly debunks the flawed logic and details how this misunderstanding that saturated fat is contributing to heart disease and that saturated fat has contributed to the epidemic of chronic disease in the United States. So I would highly recommend that book. And again, it's Good Calories, Bad Calories by Gary Taubes. Definitely worth checking in.
Right. And I think he's written a couple books, hasn't he?
Yes.
And just more on that saturated fat comment. Since that's what's being put out there, and we're still the fattest nation on Earth, inclining.
Right.
Yeah, maybe we should look at some of that information, that older information, and change change the way we look at it. That would be a great book to read, I think. I've read parts of it. I haven't finished it, but it's fascinating.
It is.
It really states the case well with a lot of scientific studies.
Definitely.
Great. Do you have any final comments, any final suggestions for people?
I just think, take baby steps and don't get overwhelmed. Start addressing some dietary changes. Maybe start with your breakfast. Take a look at that. What's that look like for you? Increase protein in your breakfast. Look at putting some healthy fats into your breakfast. Cut out some of the caffeine and the sugars and the refined carbohydrates. And that's a place to start. And then keep a little food diary, or at least pay attention to how you feel after you eat, because that's where you can, take a look at how you're feeling and start tweaking things up a little bit, changing your diet. And just slight changes in the diet can really make a big impact on your overall health. So it can be overwhelming in the beginning, but the time and work and effort, I think, that people put into eating a clean diet, eating the right fats, getting protein in their meals, and really, really upping the amount of vegetables that they consume on a daily basis will definitely pay off in the long run. And as you age, you can actually become healthier. Avoid prescription medications, which is a big, huge problem in this country, because the average retired American is on 6 to 8 prescription drugs.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to avoid those for all kinds of reasons. So increasing the quality of the food in your diet and keeping your blood sugar stable so that you do not become insulin resistant is critical to overall health and very worth all the effort that you put in.
Great. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you.
If everyone to be as lucky as to you know someone like Joni is a wealth of information and she changes lives. And
thank you.
So thank you. And so next week we are going to have Evan Foles on the show again, and Evan will be talking about water, which he promised to do the last time he was on, the different types of water and how that affects organic gardening and how that affects thriving of plants. And he's always got so much information. So join us next week. And then the week after that, we've got Alan Drobnik, who is pretty much an expert on the history of fluoride, and will be telling us why we should not have fluoride in our water, why we should not believe in the myth that fluoride is for our health, and that is going to be very interesting. So thank you very much for joining us, and we'll see you next week.